No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, giving you the latest and greatest on those Colorado Rockies. Little bit of news for them today. A lot more news for Alonzo and Alex, the polar bear, and Bregman. The Dodgers in the news again. Rob Manfred commenting on whether or not the Dodgers have been or are bad for baseball. Ipe Mizuhara, Otani's interpreter, sentenced. And a couple former Rockies in the news signing minor league deals. But the big news on Wednesday night, you probably heard Pete Alonso back with the New York Mets on a very friendly 2-year, $54 million deal that I frankly don't understand at all from the Pete Alonso camps department, as far as that's concerned. Great deal for the Mets. That lineup looks very formidable, top to bottom. Lindor, Soto, Brandon Nimmo penciled in as the number three hitter ahead of Alonso, and then Mark Vientos, who broke out last year in a major way. Sneaky sleeper for possibly 40 home run campaign next year. Got to go out and prove it, of course. Hopefully you don't have that sophomore slump. Jesse Winker after that. Francisco Alvarez, love him behind the dish. Great young catcher. Jeff McNeil and then Jose Siri in center field. So they've got themselves a nice squad, and they do it, you know, on the cheap. It's going to be $27 million. It's what's going to go against the CBT threshold there. But it's pretty much $30 million this year, $24 million in 2026. It comes with an opt-out after this season. You got to think if he can go out and produce like he's been, he's going to be able to get something else. This deal, the reason why I'm a little puzzled by this is because big-time free agents like a Pete Alonso, who when you're talking about big-time free agents, he's at the top of that list. No, he's not Juan Soto. No, he's not Shohei Ohtani. Those guys are in, you know, higher than the first percentile. They're in the half percentile, even less than that. But when you're talking about the best players in the game reaching free agency, because not all of them do, to be making half of $100 million is, I don't want to say it's a misstep, because I think this is going to end up working out really well for Pete, especially because he wants to be around the team. And he was there for all of their growth and would love to win a ring. But it just seems like a misstep for the Players Association, who I have to imagine are not very happy with this deal very much, because you would have to think that Alonso probably had at least a 4-year, $80 million, let's say. Even that feels low. But you're telling me there's no team that would have offered up 4 years, $80 million. And of course, you can then debate, well, if he's going to be making $30 million this year, all he has to do is get a 3-year, $50 million deal next offseason. But guaranteed money is guaranteed money, and that helps the Players Association. And it's just a very odd deal. Well, we'll see if there's any comments that end up coming out. Probably not too much, but for a guy like Pete Alonso, who's been fantastic every year since he debuted in 2019, setting the rookie record for most home runs by a rookie in a single season, it seems a bit strange to only get $54 million on the open market. So I think a lot of that has to do with Pete's interest in going back where he's comfortable, not getting the most that he could in free agency to help out his union, to help out the Players Association. I don't know. Alex Bregman has got a slightly larger deal coming in from the Houston Astros. They've increased their offer. It was, 6 years. There's a mystery 6-year deal out there for him, but whatever that number is, it has still gone up. But the deal apparently still seems unlikely by some that are close to that scene. Detroit still not out of the hunt, even after signing Jack Flaherty over the weekend on a 2-year deal. It seems like they could still be in the mix. And that might be a better fit. And that might be a nice reconnection between Alex Bregman and manager AJ Hinch. Houston did just get below the luxury tax threshold when they traded Ryan Presley's $14 million salary. Sure, they ended up paying some of that down, but they saved $8.5 million. And they're now $4 million below the base threshold. So you look at that roster, and sure, while some of the names might not jump off the page like in the past, you feel confident in that organization that they are going to produce some really great players. Very much in the similar way that the Tampa Bay Rays do it each and every year. You might not be familiar with them, but you know there's going to be a couple breakout all-stars that you really hadn't heard of before they were announced on the third baseline at the All-Star game. Like, that's just how the Rays operate. And the Astros always find a way to build another superstar, and that window is definitely closing. But I've got confidence that they'll figure it out. Just like I had confidence last year when they were at the bottom of the AL West in April, and I was not ready to cash out on them because of their veteran squad. So I don't think they need Alex Bregman to do what they want to do. I think they need him a lot more so to win a World Series. Obviously, a player of his caliber is going to get you that much closer than not having him. But nevertheless, they'll have to figure something out. I think it could be a lot of posturing to try to tamp down his salary just a little bit. Well, we are less than a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting for the Colorado Rockies on Thursday, February 13th, Thursday the 13th. A couple other teams reporting on February 12th. I think the Cubs report the earliest at February 9th because of the Tokyo series going on with the Dodgers. But the reaction from fans, it cracks me up each and every time. Each and every time I post something about, hey, we're this many days away from the home opener, we're this many days away from opening day and spring training, et cetera, et cetera. The comments are just, hey, I'm excited because it's baseball. It's baseball. If my favorite team were going to be on the precipice of losing 100 games again, or simply losing their seventh consecutive season for the first time in franchise history, yeah, I'd be very disappointed, but there's still plenty to look forward to, and it's baseball. It's great. So the comments, yay. And then the other comments, Jake Shapiro of Denver Sports definitely made me laugh when he said, is that a threat? In his quote tweet of the fact that pitchers and catchers are reporting. Other comments, who cares? Someone else, and that much closer to spring training. And they're eliminated from playoff contention. Can't wait for the third 100-plus loss season with our highest-paid player on the injured list for 65% of the season. And then other people just excited about getting their butts back down there and going to games and being in the sun, getting away from the cold. It's spring training. It's wonderful. Hope springs eternal. And again, you might not be hopeful that the Rockies are going to make the postseason this year, because I think everyone knows that is about as much of an impossibility as anything. And sure, the Pacoda projections have the Rockies set to lose about 105.5 games. But we've seen projections where the Rockies are set to lose 100 games and they are able to avoid 90 losses, or they barely lose 90 some games. That's certainly nothing to brag about, and that's certainly disappointing. But figuring out Coors Field and some of these projections because really it impacts the player's projections. And then when the player projections are impacted, that affects the team's projections. So as of right now, and look, there's still 6 weeks to go until March 28th, first game of the regular season against the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa at George M. Steinbrenner Field. 6 weeks still to go, so a lot can change in that time. But I do not think they are going to lose 100 games this year. Could they lose 99? Sure. 98? Sure. Could they lose 100? Yeah. But all things being equal, I don't know that I see that's going to happen again. 6 weeks could tell us a lot going forward if that does happen to go down. So despite that fact, if they can be a little bit better than last year, and I've said 71 wins seems like that might be the height of success. That's still a 10-win turnaround. You still end up losing 89 games. And even if you just miss that number, even if you're still, or rather, no, if you win 71 games, you lost 91 games. That's what I said. But even if you win 72 games, okay, you lost 90. That's still bad. A 90-loss season is really bad. But you won 11 more games, and quite possibly how you won those 12 more games gets you excited because the young guys have come up. So there definitely is some positivity and hope. Again, it's spring. You have to hope that they are not going to lose 100, and no one's having a parade for a 72-win team. But maybe you have a parade, or maybe you celebrate the postseason the year after that. So you're hoping that this is some kind of a bridge of some sort. Rob Manfred was asked down in Florida by Evan Drellich of The Athletic, Bill Shakin, at the owners' meeting in Florida this week, if the Dodgers are bad for baseball. Fair question, according to Manfred. No, the Dodgers aren't ruining baseball. Quote, I don't agree with that. The Dodgers are a really well-run, successful organization. Everything that they do and have done is consistent with our rules. They're trying to give their fans the best possible product. Now, it should be noted that he is aware that there is frustration for a lot of fan bases, which is why he continued to say, quote, I recognize, however, and my email certainly reflects it, there are fans in other markets who are concerned about their team's ability to compete, and we always have to be concerned when our fans are concerned about something like that. But pinning it on the Dodgers, not in that camp. Fair? Very fair. Again, as we know, you've got to win the games. And the Dodgers are going to win their games. They're going to win their fair share of games. They could win 110 games, but that simply won't matter when you have to get through so many rounds of the postseason now in October. It's just such a long season. Now, maybe because the Dodgers got over the hump as far as the 162-game season is concerned. They won in 2020. It was shortened. That's fine. I don't consider that to be a Mickey Mouse trophy. It is when you compare it to all the other seasons. But in 2020, when nothing was going on in the world and we were all struggling to stay sane, we had baseball. We had real games. We had real statistics. We had real records. Not full season, but we had single game records. We had performances worth remembering, moments worth celebrating, guys who contributed to Hall of Fame careers that bumped those numbers up across various milestones. There's value in that 2020 season. Was it disappointing? Yes. Was it the best that they possibly could have hoped for? For the most part, yes. And so the Dodgers were the best team in that season. You replay that over a million times, and yeah, the Dodgers' odds of winning the World Series that year is a lot lower than any other team who wins the World Series in a given year because of the randomness of that short season, sure. But nevertheless, they won the World Series. Hats off to them. But now that they've done it during a full season, now that they finally got over that hump, so to speak, now they could really start going and developing a dynasty, and that could be a problem. Angels agreed to a one-year deal with Yoan Moncada, $5 million, as the Angels continue to just be this island of misfit toys of players that they're just picking up all over the place that, you know, used to be really talented, but they're just not anymore. And Moncada definitely fills that role. It doesn't mean he might not break out and become like an all-star again. You could have something like that, but in that organization where that just doesn't really seem to happen quite as often, I don't know. I don't know how good that's going to end up working out, but it's a one-year deal. No such thing as a bad one-year deal. Sticking in Los Angeles, Ipe Mizuhara, the former interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, who has been ordered to pay Ohtani nearly $17 million in restitution, was sentenced to 57 months in prison on Thursday, according to Sam Blum of The Athletic. Reports emerged that millions of dollars had been wired from the account in Ohtani's name to an illegal gambling ring. You might have even heard audio was released of Ohtani, or rather of Mizuhara calling the bank and saying, "Yep, no, I'm Shohei. We're going to go ahead and, you know, put this money in that account over there. So, you know, charged with bank fraud." And I mean, all the evidence is there. He's not fighting it. So it does have a nice bow on it, so to speak. Because if you recall what that was like last year of, oh my God, not the greatest player we've seen since Babe Ruth. What's going on here? This is so strange. And look, I had my conspiracies. I did not have the Rockies Insider podcast at the time. And there were a couple things that I said, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me think about this. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not one of those guys. And I think a lot of times conspiracy theorists like to think and feel as if they are smarter than everyone else and that they somehow see something that nobody else sees. I try to do that. I certainly try to figure out different angles in various ways. But also when the glaring evidence proves otherwise, I say, well, I did have my concerns about this and that certainly looks suspicious. But at the end of the day, yeah, I guess he's guilty. I don't just flush facts down the toilet because a conspiracy just would sound a lot better and make me feel smarter about myself. No, this is what this guy did, Mizuhara, and I think Ohtani is totally in the clear. No issues there whatsoever. Minor league deals for a pair of former Rockies, Chad Kuhl, most recently with the White Sox last season, mostly pitching out of the pen. He signs a minor league deal with Atlanta, who's got a pretty deep rotation, but that is a good veteran arm to have. One thing worth noticing, and I think you've been watching enough Rockies games over the last 2 years, you've noticed that the Rockies utilize this strategy too, is that if you have one of these non-roster invite players, typically relief pitchers or back of the rotation starters, it's very easy to promote them when you need a couple starts and your prospect or prospects just aren't ready for that opportunity yet. Or maybe your 40-man roster just doesn't have that room. You can add that non-roster invite. And then when you're done with them for two or three starts, you can cut them and there's no consequence. And you freed up a spot on the 40-man and 26-man roster. So it allows you to operate with not necessarily more than a 40-man roster, but it gives you flexibility and gives you freedom. Whereas if you promote a prospect and you need to add them to the 40-man roster, well, when that time is up, you can demote the player, but now you are still in need of room on the 40-man roster. Whereas if you have Chad Kuhl and Atlanta calls him up for three starts, they can designate him for assignment, and now they've got a spot on that 40-man roster again. And maybe Kuhl even slips through waivers. No one picks him up, and he's still with the organization. We saw that with Ty Block. So those players have that value of, all right, they're not world beaters. They're not prospects. They are big league pitchers, and there's a lot of other guys like them that are around. So it gives you a lot of flexibility, and Kuhl, of course, is just in that stage in his career. Taron Vavra, infielder, signed a minor league deal with the Baltimore Orioles. He was one of the prospects included in the Michael Givens trade during the pandemic season. Vavra was a personal favorite of mine when looking at prospects and scouting. And this was in and around the time of, hey, I think Coco Montes could be something. And by be something, I mean breakthrough in the majors and contribute. He's a big leaguer in the waiting. And maybe not a guy that ever reaches free agency after 6 years of service time. Maybe not a guy who gets his full pension after 10 years. Maybe not even a guy that sticks around for more than 4 years, which can be hard to do when the average baseball career, the lifespan in MLB is about 3 years. Still, picking out those needles in the haystack, it feels good. So Vavra, you know, has made his debut, but has not had the same career that, I mean, even Coco Montes, not a world beater by any stretch of the imagination, but it was good to see him have some success over in Japan. Very interested in seeing what Tampa works on him, or works with him on as a non-roster invite. So, you know, sometimes these guys pan out, sometimes they don't. There are so many stories of players that just never really came to fruition or just really never reached certain heights that it seemed like they were a slam dunk to do. And that's what's fun about following the minors. And look, the guys over at Blake Street Banner do an incredible job with that, and they make it fun. But the truth remains that a large percentage of them never make it to the majors. They still have great stories, wonderful memories. They did big things throughout the minors, but it is really hard. There is just such a big difference between minor league success and major league success. Look back in 2005. A gentleman by the name of Brandon Wood. I can remember first really getting into prospects in and around that time, being like, oh my God, this dude is going to be a superstar. OPS north of 1,000 in the Cal League, 115 RBI, 43 home runs in his age 20 season for a shortstop. Are you kidding me? He was a top 100 guy. He was in the top 10 in Baseball America. And while he played parts of five seasons, 272 games, negative 3.8 wins above replacement. Yikes. Yikes. It just never happened for him. 18 home runs in the majors after 43 in high A, where it seemed like he was a can't-miss prospect. And everyone missed on him. Everybody had that guy really high. So it's just wild how those things end up working out. Tommy Pham, he's got himself a one-year, $4 million deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Team number 10 for him. And really, most of those have to be in the Central Divisions, right? He's a big Central Divisions guy. Cardinals, of course. We saw him with Kansas City last year. He's been on with a lot of those teams in the Central, it definitely feels like. And then Harrison Bader, speaking of a Central team, American League Central, Minnesota Twins, signs a one-year, $6.25 million deal that could escalate by another $2 million in bonuses. I think that's a really nice pickup for the Twins there, getting a strong defender out in center field. So good for them. Good for you for sticking around for this episode. I hope you enjoy what's coming in the next couple days. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun researching and adding to what I already knew and learning a couple things I didn't know. But you can see that right now over on YouTube, totally uncut. Skip around if you would like. But I looked into MLB expansion because it's on its way. It might not be imminent, but it is inevitable. It's going to happen. And there's about 20 different cities in North America, mostly in the U.S., a couple in Canada, a couple in Mexico. I do a deep dive on what those cities and what groups in those cities are doing to try to get an expansion club from MLB when that time is right. And long before it's right, it's not right. It's wrong. Expansion is wrong right now. You can't do it. There's a few reasons why. And I highlight that, I outline that at the start of the episode. What needs to happen for Major League expansion to go down in baseball? How much is it going to cost? So that's available over on the YouTube side. If you don't want to look at my ugly mug, you can just wait for the audio only. I'm going to break that up into at least three episodes because I was going hard for 2 hours. The comments were great over on YouTube. You can still go back and leave a comment if you want on the video. If you've got a question pertaining to expansion or something pertaining to the Rockies expansion, what went down when they got it, if you need any clarification like that, you can, again, leave that comment over on the YouTube side of things or reach out to me. DMs are open everywhere on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and at Rockies_insider. Appreciate you joining me, giving me this momentum today, as always. But hey, as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as your next show. So I'll talk to you then.